Anyway, I will pass this to Brother Sui An. Here, I don't know how many copies. I think 70 to 80 copies. Not enough. I still have. Last time. Different. The Cameron Highland one is the two-hour talk, the Thursday transcript, September 13 or 12, I think, last year. This one is 2005, 9 years ago. When I started, they did this transcript. In fact, there are three or four other transcripts. They have the five aggregate of form and mind. Then they have the Satipatthana, Sama Samadhi. Then there is one more, I forgot already. Then we have this law of dependent origination. They like it so much, they did it into like a booklet form, very nicely printed. So this one, for those who already have, also I think it's quite long ago. I remember I gave this on the first retreat in Fraser's Hill. So if you have been to Fraser's Hill, you will have a copy, but it's blue color. It's the same one as Fraser's Hill. So if you have that one, you don't need this. But you should read it now, because now you read, your understanding is different. And the Dhamma that was spoken at that time is applicable for people of all level of cultivation. So if you have not cultivated, you will receive according to your capacity. Means very likely you can't understand much. But now, after these few years, I think most of you can understand. So you can get a copy if you want, before the thing start. You can come and get it. Then the balance. This is the dependent origination. Paticca-samuppada. Last time it's a blue color. It explained to you clearly how your mind functions. How the various dependent origination link condition you into delusion. Then how you get yourself entangled with life. Then how the whole mess of suffering comes to be. How the main ignorance, which is avijja in Pali, condition activity of mind. If you're not sure, you take it back first. Then you found the blue copy last time one, then you can return. Otherwise, you just keep it. Because these are printed by Kayanamita funds. So you should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the whiteboard too, you all should rejoice. Kayanamita fund donated, but we should thank Sui An and me for. They took the trouble to source for it. It's very nice. Can, no problem. They can donate to Kayanamita fund earmark for this. So no problem. So we should rejoice. We say it one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we should also rejoice with wholesomeness of Ingbi for printing the J. Krishnamurti code available to everybody. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, good. So Kayanamita Fan printed it. Oh, very good. Sadhu. So I rejoice. Those who just came in, there is this book, Dependent Origination. It's from our Kayanamita Fund for free distribution. You can have a copy if you want. Okay. Where is Brother Sui An? This whole box you can keep. You can keep. Maybe I put a few copies here. The rest you can keep. Okay, we still got 6 more minutes. If you got any question in the meantime, you can ask. Like I mentioned earlier on, we will try to slightly modify. Yes. Come, Brother. I think. I have given you the dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. Last time, blue color. I didn't give you. No, that one is the transcript for Thursday. This one, you need it. This one, September 2005. Bilan, come. You can have a copy. Give you a copy. This book is on dependent origination. Come. Come, you should have one. Come. Yeah, very good, this one. This one was a talk delivered 9 years ago by me in the year 2005. I think it's September, if I'm not wrong, at Vipassana Center, Selangor Vipassana Center. Then they did a transcript. You should read through this Paticca Samuppada. It will help you a lot in your understanding of how your mind functions. How from avijja, which is ignorant, the mind stir and condition itself into negativity, leading to all the whole mess of suffering. The reason why you think is because of your ignorance. Without your ignorance, you don't think. You don't need to think. Thought doesn't have to arise. But because of this avijja, mainly is sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. That's why this mind, mundane mind, the conditioned mind, with all the wrong views and opinion, stir and react. Then after that, the link starts to operate. That's how you get yourself entangled with life. Then upon contact, not only consciousness arises, feeling also arises. And without wisdom, feeling straight away conditioned craving. Craving, if you do not understand, it will actually condition suffering finally. So craving need to be understood, then finally abandoned. Come, Wendy, come. This book is for free distribution by the Kayana Mitta Fund. Very good book, you must read. Dependent Origination. Paticca Samuppada. Based on a talk given in 2005 at the Selangor Vipassana Center. Okay, we got 2 or 3 more minutes. So in the meantime, if you got any question, you can ask. Then the other thing you notice is the whiteboard. So this one, you all also partake in the wholesomeness. Donated by both Tuesday and Thursday class, Kayana Mitta Fund. Then we should thank Sister Mifong and Brother Suyan for putting in all the great effort to source for this very nice whiteboard. Big enough. But you ask Brother Tay, the clang one is double the length. But this one is good enough. The clang one I like because when I go there and give talk, normally once I start, I can write. I no need to rub. Finish the whole talk, then everything is still there. That one really, I think they need it for their society because it's really big. Really big. So we rejoice one more time in the whole service. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I was told Sister Monica also wanted to donate towards the cost. But we would like Kayana Mitta Fund to do it. So she can donate to Kayana Mitta Fund, earmark for this whiteboard. Then it will still do the same thing. Okay, 8:30. Maybe we can start our puja first. Okay? Then after that, we will start the official meditation session. Okay? Compose your mind and maintain some form of saddha, virya. Then pay respect mindfully. Then we will start the puja. Okay? Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will start the meditation. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. I really rejoice with the wholesomeness before we even start, because we have this book, Patichasamupada, Dependent Origination, reprinted. I think this is the third or fourth reprint. Then we have this whiteboard also, which was donated by our Kayanamita funds. And we really rejoice with this wholesomeness because it's going to help a lot. As I told you all earlier on, this year onward, we are going to change the format slightly so that you can have more sharing, more Dhamma sharing. So earlier on, there was a blue book that was distributed basing on the transcript of last year's Thursday talk, I think 12 of September, if I'm not wrong, 2013. You should read that book so that you can understand all the basic essential Dhamma needed for developing the so-called meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that we save time, so that when we come here, immediately we can start our meditation. We can have about half an hour of meditation. Then the second session, we got 1.5 hour, is just nice for us to have the meditation reporting. Then you can ask questions, then we can do the Dhamma sharing. Now is the time for you to develop deeper understanding into the Dhamma so that you know how to cultivate. The emphasis now is go into understanding the Dhamma in a clearer manner so that it can really motivate you to develop this cultivation with all the understanding that can bring about great result. And it can actually help you in many, many ways. It will improve your life. it will improve your understanding of life. Then it can bring forth great wholesomeness, blessings and merits. Then later on, when you have the Dhamma, you can be great blessings to all to all of humanity, to all of society, then even to our planet, Mother Earth, the consciousness. Okay, so now we can start. Anybody totally new? Nobody. Good. So no need to go through the long instruction. So for those who really know how to meditate, you can start straight away. I will off the light. Then I just give you some very brief pointers as to what you're supposed to recall to mind so that you can develop this meditation accordingly. The first thing that the Lord Buddha told us is you need to have heedfulness. Heedfulness is most important to develop anything, whether meditation, Dhamma understanding, or any, no problem. It's okay. It's okay. No problem. Yeah, come in. Slowly. Yeah, go upstairs. So, heedfulness, this word is very important. So, just to have a quick recap, heedfulness is actually apamada. In Pali. Then this apamada has two very important components. First component is ever mindful. Then you use it to cultivate. The meditation as taught by the Buddha. Cultivation of noble Eightfold Path. So you combine these two equals apamada or heedfulness. So to be ever mindful, you will need to be ever mindful, you need to develop mindfulness. In Pali, it's called sati. Okay? So sati is very important. So sati is the silent mind before the knowing. Silent mind before the knowing. Before your aggregate of mind arise. So technically, the moment you are silent, you are already mindful. But you cannot be silent is because these five mental hindrances are there. Understand not? Like I always explain. Because they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner silence, and inner calmness. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something or hear something, sensual desire, ill will arise because you will react to what you see, what you hear. So, like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. So, all this. Then, sometimes you don't see the significance of that thing you do, like meditation. You become sleepy. Sloth and torpor is sleepy. Then, restlessness of mind is when you don't live your life properly. You violate the precepts and all those things. So what happens is your mind becomes restless. Means you have fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow and lamentation. Otherwise, restlessness will not come in. Then doubt means you don't understand the teaching, the truth. You are not confident of what you are doing. So doubt, all these five will prevent you from becoming silent, peaceful and mindful. So you need to cultivate this opposite five, which is the five spiritual faculties. And we have gone through Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The English translation is faith or confidence, spiritual zeal, mindfulness, collectedness of mind, and the unwavering mind. And the last one is wisdom. So in order to counter the top five hindrances, you only need to cultivate this five spiritual faculty. So our puja, you already developed the composed mind, which is sadda, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding who the Buddha is and how special his enlightenment is. Then how wonderful the teaching is, because it can allow you to liberate your mind and become enlightened. Then likewise, all the others will follow. Once your faith is there, virya will arise. Then you pay respect mindfully, sati will arise. Then now you train yourself to develop this mindfulness to stabilize your mind so that it is silent within. You can use the mind sweeping method, followed by metta, or you go over into anapanasati straight away. Then once, for those who already trained, you already know how to meditate, you already know how to silent and develop inner awareness, you straight away go to your heart, silent and stay there. Or you can anchor it to any of the object of meditation that you are familiar with. Okay? So now you can start your meditation. Yeah? You got any question, later you can ask. Okay? I will off the line, then you can start. Remember to relax body and mind, yeah? Have a stable posture, then breathe in, breathe out normally. Yeah? If you already train your mind, you just need to silence your mind, then stay with the object of meditation, then maintain the training of mindfulness until this mindfulness is very stable. Every time the mind gets distracted, you bring it back patiently. Yeah? And for those who are still quite new, if you find that the hindrances are still there, restlessness are still there, then you have to decondition it using the mind sweeping method. Starting from your forehead, you relax everything. Just feel and relax. Don't think. Then after that, you sweep from your forehead down to your eye muscle, facial muscle. Then you radiate love and metta to your own body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your mind state. Develop this metta or love within, so that all of your entire being, body and mind, has this well-being within. Then as you develop this metta, you become more and more calm, more and more peaceful. So the inner peace will arise, followed by the inner well-being. These are the byproduct of meditation. So benefits of meditation immediately arise. You develop inner peace, inner well-being. Then you continue to radiate this metta. You wish for your own happiness and well-being. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all harms and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then after that, you can relate to your loved ones, and then all Kalyanamita, all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, etc., until the entire country, then planet Earth, solar system, galaxy, the whole universe. Then you come back to your facial muscle. This is for those who need to train. If you're already skillful, no need to train, you straight away go to your object of meditation. Then develop this stability of mindfulness until very, very stable, very calm. Then you stay silent. Then if you can develop the awareness to be aware of your heart region, you just stay there. Then you try to detect any vibration or heartbeat, just stay there. Just silent, stay there. develop the awareness, then everything will follow. You will understand very clearly using the silent mind in meditative state of inner awareness. The mind without thought is very, very mindful, very, very sensitive. It can understand many, many things. All of the Dhamma, all of the teachings that the Buddha has shared and taught us, you will understand them through that silence. Okay, now I'll let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell after about another 20 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Put yourself in now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Like I always remind that you are here to train your mind to develop this sati or mindfulness within the silent mind. And once you have trained and developed it, you have to stabilize it. Then you try to maintain this state of mind that you have trained, that silent, for as long as you can. Even when you come out of meditation, you should be fully aware. Your mind state is very different when you are mindful. Every thought that moves, every action that moves, your mind is with it. Later on you will come to know it's like a flow, there is clarity. Like suddenly the mind quiet down. No more like before, think a lot, heedless. It's alert, aware, silent. And it can follow everything that you do. How you move from your meditative posture, and how you arise, and how you move, and how you actually develop all the action. So if you can continue to maintain this state for as long as you can, then go back when you reach your home. Develop a very good spiritual religious routine daily on to help you continue this training so that you can develop the ability to be mindful even within your conscious moment while you live life. That is the real training. We call that the daily mindfulness. If your mindfulness can stabilize until you can use it to live life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which I have written on the whiteboard above, to develop heedfulness, you must have mindfulness, sati. Sati is a silent mind before the knowing. You look at the whiteboard. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful. This is the meditative mind that can meditate and understand a lot of things. This one, you don't use thought on. But because when you are active in life, you need to arise some form of activity of mind. Otherwise, you cannot be conscious of life. You cannot be aware of things. You cannot perceive them. But the only difference is, when you are mindful and heedful, your thought is not like before, heedlessly proliferating non-stop. You have more and more moments of silence. You will realize you don't think like before. You only think when you need to think. And when you think, it does not perforate. You only become conscious, aware, then you perceive, then you move. Because the understanding will allow you to move. Then when you move, your awareness is with phenomena. That's why it doesn't think anymore. Then it can just flow and accord with everything that you come to perceive. Whether through your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thinking. So everything is like different now. So daily mindfulness, when you start to develop, you will see the big difference between that state of mind and the state of mind that is heedless before you train, before you develop the training of this mundane mind, thinking mind. The mundane mind that is heedless and think a lot is because it has ignorance. It doesn't have the spiritual faculty. Instead, the hindrance, mental hindrance, they have become habitual in you. So that's why you find it very difficult to control that mind or to train that mind or to reverse that habitual tendency. So the only way to develop it is develop the opposite five spiritual faculties, sadha, So now we come back to this understanding of spiritual faculty. How do we train this spiritual faculty? Yeah? Based on what you have learned. How? How you develop them? Yeah? What is it? Just now I just mentioned before we start. Puja. So you train through your puja. That's why you must have a daily religious routine, sadhana. Morning when you wake up, before you sleep, and in between when you have free time. Then every day before you leave your house, pay respect, mindful. Then go. When you come back, first thing, go to your altar, pay respect, recite salutation. These are very meritorious. These are one of the 10 meritorious actions. And they help you develop the spiritual faculty. Sadha, virya, sati. If you do it until it's a routine, then this tree will develop. Then the second way is what? You come to class, meditation class. You have your puja too, pre and post puja. Rena. Then if you come for meditation session or retreat, you train your mind again. You train your mind. Means informal meditation to develop sati. This is the third spiritual faculty. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. Without heedfulness, there is no meditation. The Buddha said, without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. Remember? Most important thing is heedfulness. So if you have done your puja, develop the training of your mind. After your puja, you meditate for a while. Then you go and sleep. Early morning, wake up, also same. Do your puja. Then meditate for a while. Then continue your daily mindfulness. You will progress very fast. And all this spiritual faculty you will develop very fast. Okay? First part, understood. Then after that, you come to meditation. Meditation is after you have trained this sati or mindfulness, when it has become a part of you, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, you can straight away go to the four foundations of mindfulness if you want, if you are in a retreat or in a formal place. But if you are in the midst of living life, then you need to reflect, contemplate, and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Means constantly reflect and contemplate on the first Noble Eightfold Path factor of right view. What is right view? What constitutes right view? And then you will unfold the three important right view with regards to all of the spiritual laws that governs all of life and existence that the Buddha has already taught you. Starting with, the first one is what? The three spiritual laws that governs life and existence. What are they? First one? All of life and existence. The first one is law of karma, okay? You have to reflect, contemplate, and clearly understand it. When you understand, you will know how the teaching come about, how the Buddha introduced all the precepts, why he asked you to renew, why the advice is you have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Then the daily, five daily contemplation, remember the last one? Five daily contemplation. What is the last one? You have to reflect and contemplate daily. This one is all in the note. What are they? You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. The last one. The first three is about this body. It's not you. So this body go the way of nature, the Buddha said. It's of the nature to get old, get sick, and one day die, for it has not gone beyond, and this is not you. So when you confront old age, sickness, and death, if you have contemplated, you will not be deceived by it, you will not be deluded, and you will not suffer. You will not be afflicted by what goes on. The fourth one is about separation, right, from your loved ones and possession or whatever that you hold on to. If you constantly reflect, followed by the last one, law of karma, then you will know if your life depends almost 99.99% on karma, what must you do? You must? What must you do? Take care of karma. Then you inquire, how can I take care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha, correct? Which is, avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Then you inquire, how do I avoid all evil? The guideline is what the Buddha said. Keep your precept. That's why you renew your precept. Then you see all the Dhamma start to link. Understand not? Then why do I have to keep my precept? Does it lead to negativity, negative karma? You check. First precept is what? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow beings. If I kill and harm, what will happen to me? Karmically. Yeah? Who kill? Who kill? Who harm? People who are deluded and violent. Correct or not? Violent people, angry people, emotional people, fearful people, selfish people. These people has all the evil root, no root of all. It will make you evil, understand or not? That's why you must not break this precept. The moment you break, the evil roots are there. You have all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you become evil. That's why there is karma. If you cause being to die, or affliction, means you cause harm and you kill them. All the suffering that being go through, or those beings go through, karmically it will come back to you in the future when there is condition. You become the victim. People will harm you, kill you, and create all the suffering for you. So if you want to have the good life, the noble life, the happy life, you have to abstain. You will not do anything that you don't like people to do to you. So this daily contemplation will bring forth the straightening of your view, not to be deluded and foolish anymore. Then you start to understand the importance of precept. Then not only you keep, you determine never to violate. Then noble eightfold path is what? Everything also right. Starting from right view, you will develop the right thought. Can follow that? Yeah? Right thought will condition your right action, right speech, and right livelihood. Then your life starts to become better and better. Yeah? Then you arise the four right effort to constantly purify all of your action, speech, and thought process. Understand that? When the wrong thought, unwholesome thought, that has arisen. What are unwholesome thoughts? Those that have the evil roots, understand? That can make you miserable, fearful, unhappy, and all those things. All these wrong thoughts, when they arise, if you have mindfulness, which is part of heedfulness, you will know how to abandon it, understand? The right effort to abandon it. Then when your mindfulness becomes more and more stable, even before it arises the next time, you can prevent it from arising, because your mindfulness will allow you to understand why you were like that in the past. So in the future, when you see something, hear something, or think of something, that negativity that you used to carry through your wrong view, you will know this is wrong view, no longer appropriate. It will condition you to become evil, so you can prevent it from arising. That mindfulness and awareness can prevent you from becoming that thing. Means there is no more transgression. It's now only at the thought level. Then you can just allow it to be. Because you have straightened your view. And that wisdom allow you to have that ability to prevent that wrong thought from arising or unwholesome thought. And then you can cultivate right thought, which is virtue, goodness, kindness. All of the, what they call virtue that you can think of, they are all right thought. Then after you start to cultivate them, you have to refine upon them the final right effort and perfect them so that you will never fall back to the old habits of arising the wrong thought anymore. Okay? So that is part of the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. Then you start to see your life transform, change. Personality-wise, and character-wise, you will start to see the deep change within you as a person, as a fellow human being. You are very different from before. Then you have the awareness or mindfulness to clearly understand what is good and what is unwholesome or evil. Okay? So this is the part that you need to understand and develop your meditation. Okay? So meditation becomes very simple. Develop your spiritual faculty through puja, your training of your mind to develop sati via your, what they call, formal meditation. This is formal meditation. Formal meditation. When you attend meditation class or when you are doing your meditation in your office, this is your daily spiritual routine or religious routine. Okay? So when you have this, you will do your puja, morning and when you are about to sleep. Then after that, wherever you have free time, you train your mind, stabilize the sati, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in daily life. If you stick onto this schedule throughout the day, very, very fast, your meditation will progress. You will understand the Dhamma very quickly. Okay? So this is to simplify the understanding. Then after that, you read the notes, the Dhamma book. The Dhamma will start to become clear to you. Can understand? Can follow? So this part, try to develop the understanding of it. Then from today onward, those who have yet to start, you should actually develop this. Okay? So this one is the summary of what I need to let you all know, so that in future when we come here for this class, all this is like understood. Okay? We don't have to go through again. Then we save more time. Like today, we almost used 55 minutes for the meditation and briefing. Okay? So now I still got 1 hour 5 minutes, which is still good enough. Okay? Okay, now we can start the second session. Second session is about reporting of meditation and Q&A. Question and answer. You can ask me whatever question that you need to develop the understanding of, you can ask. Whether it's about meditation, the teaching, or the cultivation and how to apply what you have learned to help you develop the understanding of life and to overcome all of your so-called mundane life situation or problems. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody got anything to report on the meditation? Anybody? Also quiet. You should try to report. Then it will bring forth the condition for me to explain. Otherwise, you keep quiet. Then very difficult. Anybody quickly? Yes. Can. Yes. Because the recording, if not, it doesn't go in. They cannot hear you. I can hear you. Yes. Wait. Push it out. Sorry. Good. You
Great
repeat.
Deal. Yes. Can I just ask us?
Yeah.
Sometimes during your meditations, you try to be more mindful, but sometimes certain figures.
I know. Image will come.
Yeah. Image will come to you. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes when the image
appears. What you do when it appears?
I try to reflect on my breathing in, breathing out.
Oh, okay. You try to come back to your
object
of meditation. Okay, very good. I will explain this so that you all understand. Our sister here has a very good question. He said, how come in the meditation when she start? After a while, especially when you start to calm down, this image will appear, asana, because they are mental formation within your mind states. So in future when they arise, you just silence your mind. Then you like watch your TV or your film show. You see what image is it. Just aware. No need to comment. No need to what they call use your conditioned mind to react. Sometimes very so-called fearful image or what, you just let it be. Asana, because it's just an image. What is image? It's a picture, mental picture, not a real picture. No. It comes and it goes. Why do you fear? Who fear? What fear? Later on when you come out, you inquire. Then the next time you see those type of picture come, there is nothing to fear. The thought that doesn't understand fear. So it is the thought through your conditioned thinking. Because you have this wrong view that you already accumulated into your brain that has become your tradition or your views or your opinion of what this thing is. So like Chinese, we have this type of tradition. We see figure that we don't understand, we think is ghost, especially ugly and frightening one. And that is the one that conditions you to react. Then you like scared, then you go back to your breathing. No need to worry about anything. You just let it arise. Sometimes it can be some other image. But these mental formations are like your dream state, Anasana. When you are dreaming, the slight difference is you are in the subconscious and unconscious state, Anasana. Then when you are unconscious, the subconscious release from your brain because there is disorder. The brain needs to recuperate and recover. Means it wants to find order within the brain. Asana. So all this so-called fear or phobia, or whatever like and dislike that you actually accumulate and store inside your brain, these are causing stress in you, Anasana, causing disorder within your brain. So the only time your brain has the window to recuperate and recover is when you go to sleep. Anasana. When you go to sleep means what? You enter the unconscious. Then the brain, well, the body know how to recuperate if you don't think. The moment you think, you are interfering with nature's healing process. Anasana. That's why you need to sleep to actually rest so that your internal, what they call nature's chi, can heal you, Anasana. If you study the what they call the Chinese medicine, they will tell you the chi from nature, it will flow. There is a clock, Anasana. What time go to what organ, what time go to what organ. That one God is truth, Anasana. If you meditate, you can know. Then during that time when you are silent without thought, that's why meditators are silent and without thought, the body heal. You don't need to wait till sleep to heal. You just rest, silent, it heal. During the early days, I tried it. It was so beautiful. Every time I tired or whatever, I just silent. Then I recharge, I heal very fast. Then sometimes I got very severe flu or whatever. I just lie down, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. During the early day, I recover. Then nowadays, body is a body. take longer time. Like you grow older. Last time you fatigue, when you are young, play badminton, after a long time you didn't play, suddenly you start. You got muscle ache after the first day. But you recover very fast, you're young. But as you grow older, 5 days, 6 days, sometimes 1 week also didn't recover. So, because the body is still a body, okay? You will undergo those phases. So, when you go through this, you will have the same effect. Initially, when you just develop the ability to silence and this pure energy inside heal you, you feel very good. But after a while, it takes longer. But so far, so good. Not too long. At the most, I sleep early. Next morning, I wake up, I fully recover. That's why it can still heal. So whatever that come, images or what, just allow it to be. Don't try to do anything. Just silent. Continue to be aware. Well, meditation is about awareness. Through the silent mind, you understand. Then later on, when you come out, then you will develop the contemplation. Why this image, not other image? And then you can understand why this dream, not other type of dream, the subconscious dream. Why you still dream you haven't passed your university exam after you graduate so long already. Then phobia that you have when you are young, why you keep on repeating that type of dream? You will come to know it's because of the fear at that time, exam fear. The phobia when it strikes, that fear condition the accumulation. Fear is a negative energy, understand? And fear actually enters subconscious. And it has to be released, understand? Because this is something that creates disorder in your form and mind. So you need to develop this understanding, then ask yourself, why are you sitting here to meditate? In the name of what? You meditate is to do what? You have to do with understanding, isn't it? So why are we here? We are here to train our mind, to develop sati, mindfulness. So as long as you didn't train, technically you deviate, no? But this mundane mind need to be trained, because it's heedless. But that nature that is already perfect, no need to train. You only need to silence this mundane mind. Then the true mind, the pure awareness will shine forth. Then you will connect. And then this one, no need to train on. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So you don't have to try to be aware. Train to be aware. No. You train to silence that thinking mind. Because it thinks a lot. It's so heedless. Habitual tendency is so strong within you. So that's why you need to decondition the heedless thinking through mind sweeping method. Then ready metta to develop good mind state. Can follow that? Then anchor it to object of meditation. It can be anapanasati or rising falling or anything or even chanting or dynamic meditation or what. As long as the mind is aware of all these things, it will not think, it will not wander off. It will not become heedless anymore. So this training is to train the mundane mind or thinking mind to anchor it so that it is always within the moment in awareness so that you don't think anymore. So if we understand that this is the reason why we meditate, then image when they come is just like a passing what they call activity, understand? Like byproduct of meditation. As you meditate, when you become more calm and more peaceful, image will arise, understand? It's just like you go into the subconscious and the unconscious, the quiet state. And then this part of subconscious release, they will find its way out. And when you see that all this picture, as it starts to come up, you feel more and more peaceful, more and more calm. That is the right condition for you to understand your mind. Then after a while, this image becomes slow. Then later on, like, no more, stop, disappear. Yeah, you come to experience that, yeah, disappear. Ah. That is why you don't do anything. That is the real meditation. Don't try to react to it and become fearful. Ah, that you become problematic. Then some people curious. Wow, why I can see image now? Later on, people will tell you, I can see light, nimitta, how to say. Actually, all these are byproduct of meditation. You don't get excited over it. You don't go and try to develop the craving for it and curiosity for it. You are here to train your mind to be mindful. So you just continue to relax and silent and be aware. Understand? No need to know anything. Then you will slowly develop the understanding. That all those things that I tell you, I learn it from my own meditation. That's why I know how it releases the subconscious. I can go into the sleeping state. So I can become fully aware while my body rests and sleep. Even the snoring, I can be fully aware. So when you are able to do this, you will know how your mind releases all this subconscious mind state. Then how it creates subconscious dream state. And you can be fully aware of all those things that come up. The nature is with the moment in silent inner awareness to be aware of all this arising. And these are all byproducts from your former mind. Yeah. So, coming back to meditation, this will bring us to this Krishnamurti quote, which is very good. You turn to the first page, yeah, on awareness. I think this one is very relevant. Now I read to you, you will understand. There's another page. 5th of April. I look at the back page. Below is another very beautiful Jai Krishnamurti quote on awareness for sharing by all. Actually, before this, there was another quote, no? Anybody got print that quote? Oh no, that one is later, after this somehow. Before this, there is another one. That's why I say another very meaningful one. Never mind. Anyway, I will read through this one. You see, the definition of awareness by Krishnamurti is on the heading. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Can you understand? What is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of all this? Anybody want to try? You look at the whiteboard. My definition and Krishnamurti's definition. What is the difference? What is the difference? Sati, which is mindfulness, is the silent mind before the knowing. Understand not? Or awareness before the knowing. Okay? The silent mind is the awareness. Awareness before the knowing. So this one is awareness before the knowing. Wait, I have to off the fan. Yeah, you see, the wind from the fan got an effect on this paper, see? Your mind also, flutter like the paper. Why? Because the wind. What are the wind? External sense data, that's how they come in. It's just like the trees. Before the wind come, they never flutter. The leaves and the branches. But when the wind come, they flutter. Anasana. They flutter because you react to them. Anasana. Your mood, your emotion, anasana. Your fear, your excitement. This one make your mind flutter. Or then you get yourself entangled. So everything that move and flutter, there must be something behind. So meditation is to unfold all this, or reveal all this, to see them clearly. Then you're no longer deluded by it. They come and they go. They are the guests of the mind. They are never intrinsic to the mind. Anasana. Sense data come and go. But there is an intrinsic nature that is always within, that never leave your heart or your, what they call, nature. That is your true mind. Anasana. The awareness is always there. That's why the Zen, Mahayana, they call this your true mind or your true nature, the innkeeper, the owner. The innkeeper is always there, whereas the guests come and go. Sometimes they don't stay overnight though. Hotel sometimes got 2 hour rental or half a day. This one split second they are gone. But if you get attracted to them, they can stay there for years. Then you develop depression. Severe mental emotion. So you look at here, Krishnamurti's definition is, awareness is the silent. Silent means what? The thought is silent. Anasana. Means there is no thought, no thinking. Anasana. So sati or awareness is the silent mind. Anasana. But he adds something at the back. Anasana. Actually, his definition is heedfulness. Anasana. The first part is exactly the same as what I define. Anasana. Awareness or sati is the silent mind. Anasana. Yeah? Means silent mind or awareness before the knowing. Anasana. Just aware. Okay? Like this one, the flower. The word, the concept, the labeling, not there yet. You just aware before the mind lashes on. Anasana. How do you know? You know through perception, is it? That one, the aggregate of mind come out already. But initially, it's just a pure awareness, pure perception, pure consciousness before you put in the content. Anasana. So that is a deep. Then Krishnamurti say, awareness is the silent mind. Silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is choiceless? You don't choose, isn't it? Actually, you don't discriminate, anasana. You don't react, anasana. You don't make a choice whether like or dislike, pleasant or unpleasant, anasana. Means you see things as they are. Without the mind, through its views and opinion, come and interfere. Anasana. When the mind, through its views and opinion, come and interfere, it's a conditioned seeing. Anasana. It's a conditioned observation. It's no more pure observation. Anasana. You no longer see things as they are. You actually comment, react. That's why you never see. Anasana. Because you think. You perceive, you react through views and opinion. So this choiceless awareness, you go to Vipassana, they always tell you, choiceless awareness. But they never define to you. They never tell you what this thing is. Choiceless means without command, asana, without reaction or judgment. Means you just have this observation, pure observation. You just aware, silent. No need to know anything. That silent is the real understanding. From that silent, that observation, without any, what they call, interference from your thought or your views and your opinion, that observation is seeing things as they are. That one can insight into all phenomena. That one can insight into the characteristic of nature. That one can understand what is going on because it's just aware. So everything that is going on, it really understand them the way it is, how it arise, how it sees without the words. Understand or not? Like when you are meditating, you're silent. Even in daily mindfulness, it's the same. When you are silent inside, means what? The moment of consciousness, this awareness is aware. Understand or not? Understand or not? But not through the word, no. Not like you all read through dependent origin. Buddha say, upon contact, feeling arise. And then you, instead of aware, you look for feeling. You die already. This type of meditation is thought-based already. Understand or not? That's why you should die. There is no more awareness. Awareness means silent, no word on. Then the moment it trigger, because one of the sense though, it will arise, understand not? And the awareness that is aware of that phenomena, no words or no. That moment of consciousness, you will understand what? Then the moment of perception, when the mind come in and interfere, interpret and react, you start to see all these things. That dependent origination change, you see it there without the words. Understand not? That is real vipassana. But the one that through knowledge, through memory, try to relate one, should die on. Understand not? Oh, Buddha said, upon contact, feeling arise. Then look for feeling. Then how to be aware? Understand not? Actually, the real thing is not feeling. It's the consciousness. Remember the physics experiment? Upon contact, you become conscious first. Understand not? Oh, that one, never see. Because the thought try to look for feeling. Oh, then they feel. Actually, it's another thought. That watch the emotion or the feeling that just passed by. And I said, oh, you're craving. I reacted. I shouldn't have done that. But the real one, when you're silent, you just see how it arises and how it conditions you and how it stirs you and how the mind grabs. The moment you see that, you're no longer deluded. And I said, no. That was how it happened. And I said, no. Dependent origination. What is craving? You know inside because you, through your silent mind, you see how craving come to be. Understand? Not the word, no. How this mind really grasps or cling, react, and become miserable. Then how fear come to be. Understand? How unhappiness come to be. Then when there is beautiful sense experience, how craving come to be. Then how it condition you to grasps, then cling. And all this lead to suffering. You will see them exactly like what the Buddha teach. But after you come out of the meditation, only all this become clear. And when you are inside meditating, you just silent, then observe. What do you observe? Huh? What did Krishnamurti say? Huh? Observation of what? What is what is? What is what is? Huh? What is? What is this? Huh? Krishnamurti and Bhayankati every time use this word. What is the isness of thing, isn't it? Correct? Huh? Isness of thing means what? Huh? The reality. Understand not? Or the Buddha calls suchness. Understand not? Means you see things as they are. Understand not? The reality, understand not? Isness of thing, or the reality of that moment, understand not? Or suchness. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathagata, because he is an expert in Tathata, which is suchness, understand not? So, observation of what it is means silent mind, aware of the reality, understand not? Understand not? Not all the description that thought describe, understand not? There is no more awareness. Lifting, lifting. All this is concept already, verbalization already, understand not? Of what is before the word come out, understand not? Before the verbalization, the actual silent mind that is aware. When you meditate like that, it's totally different. The result that you come to realize is totally different. That one is real understanding. That's why you awaken without thought, without words. Yeah. So this one can follow. Now I read to you, you will understand the code. The first line is what? Problem will always exist where the activity of what is dominant. Yeah? What is self? Self is the ego, isn't it? Correct or not? Self is the ego. Born of what? How does the ego come to be? Sakaya ditti. Understand how? What is sakaya ditti? Huh? Self delusion. Understand how? This is sakaya ditti. Exactly like what the Buddha teach. Huh? So when there is self-delusion, sakaya-ditti, there is an ego. That's why the Buddha say when you deludedly grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me, remember? They become grasping aggregate, and that is the cause of suffering. So Krishnamurti, exactly the same. Problem will always exist where activity of the self, which is the mental five aggregate of form and mind, are dominant. Understand? Can follow this part? When there is ego, what happened to you? You think you exist. Understand? You are separate from the rest. Understand? Then what you do? You develop selfishness. Understand? Clear? Understand? You try to own thing. You try to have thing. That mine, not mine. Understand? Then because you think you exist. If you are not happy, you can be angry. Understand? That's why these are the evil root. Understand? Or violent. Understand? Or lustful and all these things. Then fear. Understand? When you are being threatened, when you don't understand what is going on, there is fear. Fear of death. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing what you have. Understand? Fear of failure. And there is a lot of fear behind life. Fear of health problem. Understand? Fear of financial problem. Relationship problem. And there is a lot of fear. Fear of death is the most severe and frightening. So, these are the three evil roots actually. Greed, hatred, and delusion. When ego arises, that ego, which is what they call deluded, will have this evil root inside. That's why suffering will arise. Problem will always exist. Then the next sentence is what? To be aware which are and which are not the activity of self needs what? Huh? Constant? Sometimes vigilant is also translated as heedfulness. You read certain book, understand? Constantly aware, constantly. The constant vigilance, understand? That's why the Buddha told the monk to be ever mindful, ever heedful, means vigilant, understand? So when you have constant vigilance, means fully heedful, not only mindful, no, fully aware, using the silent mind, with choiceless observation of what is, then you can understand which one has self, which one is without self, understand? Understand? Even your metta. Understand? The universal metta and the one that is conditioned one is different. No? Metta is love. No? That's why they say there is such thing as conditioned love. Understand? Conditioned love means what? When you are pretty, young, I love you. Understand? Or when it has relationship with you, my son, my children, I can sacrifice, I can love. Understand? This one has its condition behind, understand? Whereas the other one, which is universal, there is no condition. Love is love. There is no more hatred, no more anger, understand? No more jealousy, no more envy. Can you have that type of love? Irrespective of who? Not only human being. Even to a plant, to an insect, to a fly, to anything that is has life, living thing, not necessarily living beings. Understand? You can have love, even inanimate object, like the pen you use, you can have love. Then this table, this house, you can have love, you can radiate love, understand? And that vibration can go in, because you are one with them all. And there is no self within that love, understand? Love is universal, understand? Love is the absence of hate, envy, jealousy, all those negative tendencies, understand? So that's why true love is not easy to understand unless you have gone beyond self. Then you can sacrifice. You can do things that is out of the normal, just like what Sakyamuni did when he was a bodhisattva. You remember one of the Jataka story? The tigress with the cup? The tigress was wounded. He knew the tigress cannot bring food for the cubs. They will all die. And you know what he did? He just sacrificed himself, jumped down and feed the tigress. Then they survived. How come he can do that? There are some Dhamma friends that tell me, very stupid, isn't it? Yeah, everybody think about their own life, isn't it? Their own life are more important than others. But when you are not ready, when you are not bodhisattva, cultivating to that level, don't try to be a hero. Eh? Don't say, brother, you say like that, I like bodhisattva. Then you go, I tell you, that time when your family come after you, too bad. That is delusion. When you are ready, you can do it. But when you are not ready, don't try to be a hero. Do what you are capable of. Asana. Do not go beyond what is within your capacity to develop the understanding. Okay? Then the next one is what? This vigilant is what? Not? What is disciplined attention? You know in school, teacher, discipline is that. You tell the student what? You cannot make noise, you cannot run around, you cannot talk. Like military one, focus attention. Everything also must follow discipline. So when you meditate in the retreat, you do the same. Take instruction. You must do this, you must note this, you must walk like that, you must... Everything is so unnatural. So discipline. They call focus attention. Everything must note. Who not? The thought not. Then thought try to discipline the form am I to meditate. You ask yourself, is that awareness? Is that vigilant? Krishnamurti define. This vigilant is not disciplined attention. But what is it? You read on. An extensive, very extensive awareness which is choiceless. Understand? Means the mind don't interfere with another. You just aware. Walk. Body and mind as one, you just aware. Everything that passed by your senses, you just aware. The mind and the phenomena as one. There is extensive awareness. Understand? Choiceless. No reaction. Don't try to know anything. That's why I say when you meditate, don't try to understand anything. Don't try to know anything. Don't try to arise the Dhamma. Is this impermanent? Is this suffering? Is this non-self? Are you gone already? But the thought is trying to develop the meditation. And thought, being egoic, can never understand and go beyond thought. Because there is no awareness when you do that. So what did Krishnamurti say after that? So discipline, attention, gives strength to the... who is the self? It's the thought. Understand not? When you discipline, who discipline? The thought discipline. When thought is active, you give strength to the self. Understand not? The egoic mind. Understand not? And now you start to reflect back. Oh, why you meditate like that last time? Very military-like. Note this, note that. Then everything also so focused attention, so disciplined. And some even comment, like a zombie sometimes. You walk until. Because so unnatural. It need to be very natural and just aware. Then what else? It becomes a substitute and a dependent. Correct? It substitute. The thought substitute the true awareness. Understand? Then you become dependent on the thought to meditate. Understand? That is the only instrument you know. Understand? So that is what human beings do. This substitute the awareness, then you don't know. You still think you are aware. Understand? Thought is trying to be aware. How can thought be aware? Thought is thought, isn't it? Understand? Thought is already the past, understand? Otherwise, it cannot be a thought, understand? If it's within the moment, it's just aware. The moment you perceive and input the, what they call contact, is already in the past, understand? That's why thought want to see the past thought, understand? Thought can see anger. Anger is already a passing emotion of the thought, understand? And who see? They say, they see, they aware. Actually, it's the thought. Understand? But even you are silent and aware of the arising thought or arising anger, when you are with it, it's totally different. No word, no labeling. It just be with it. Just like some of your experience in the retreat, remember? You just silent your mind and be with it. Then the heartbeat also slow down, everything also slow down. When you are with it, the awareness brings you back to the original state. Then suddenly you reach that stillness. The mind suddenly become very quiet and very... And that is the silence within thought. That is the awareness. That is the true mind. When you realize that, you will understand what sati is. That's why you have to develop the actual understanding of what sati is and meditate accordingly. Then when your mind has this ability to be just silent and aware, just like Christina and I think in BFU, the whole awareness is so different now inside. And the energy move. Then she can be so sensitive until not only heartbeat now, no need stethoscope. The whole body is in a state of vibration and flux. He can feel every part of it. It's like the ticking of the clock is so loud. You can hear that now. Still very loud. Here, when you silent, it's louder than this, understand? Because your consciousness is within. So awareness, on the other hand, Krishnamurti say, is not self-induced, understand? No need thought on, understand? The moment thought is silent, the awareness is already there, understand? So no thought involved is not self-induced. Then what is it? Nor is it the outcome of practice. Understand? You cannot practice mindfulness. Understand? Because that nature is already aware, silent. Understand? What is there to practice? Understand? When you don't have, you practice. Understand? It's like you want to teach the fish how to swim. Cannot. The fish born can swim already. You somehow want to teach the fish how to swim. Understand? It's instinct. Your nature inside is already aware. You want to teach that nature to be aware. Thought is trying to be aware. That's why I say don't try to be aware. Try to be aware means you artificially using the thought try to be mindful. Understand? Who is trying? The thought is trying. When the thought is active, it cannot be silent. How can you be aware? Understand? If this one you cannot see, you cannot meditate already. Understand? No, thought is nothing to do with mindfulness. The mindfulness is the awareness before the thought. Just aware. The moment thought is silent, you are aware. Understand? Mind in fullness. Understand? Mindfulness is mind in fullness, not the mind full of thought. Understand? Mind full of awareness without thought. Understand? When you are silent and aware, like now you close your eye, you're attentive. That moment when there is no thought, there is awareness, understand? But because you are so heedless because of the hindrance, you think a lot, you can hardly have a moment of space between thought. Understand? That's why you cannot feel that awareness. You cannot understand what sati is. Not until you train your mind, understand? How do you train? You train the thinking mind, understand? The mundane mind, the heedless mind. Understand? That one you need to train. Understand? But that nature is already aware. No need to practice. That's why Krishnamurti say, nor is it the outcome of practice. You cannot practice awareness. Understand? Either you aware or you lost in thought. Correct or not? You can only do one thing at a time. When you feel, you don't think. Understand? But the trouble is, you are so conditioned, the moment you feel, like I wrote in the blue book, the transcript, your eyes see your hand, think already. That feeling, you don't even feel yet, you think already, cold, hot. Who say that? your thought, that's it all. Why can't you just silent without the word, without the verbalization? And then you find out. And that is a deed, that's it all. Without the word, what is this? Even hot and cold, that's it all. The flooring, the sensation. Then you start to feel the vibration every day. Oh, then you realize, it's not just hot and cold. When I'm aware, there is so much thing inside there, that's it all. All the activity are there. That's why when you look at pain, it's not a thought that is looking at pain, no. You don't go and see, wow, pulling sensation, this, like you see your rising falling, wow, like that move. All this is your verbalization. When you just silent and aware, the awareness of it is totally different. No words one. But it understands exactly what is happening inside there. Every movement, every activity is so clear because your mind is silent. Means what? Not clouded by the thought. No interference, understand? Means you attentively aware, silent. Okay? You read on, you will understand. Huh? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, so this one understood. Huh? Nor is it the outcome of practice, so this one also understood. Huh? It is understanding what? The whole content of the problem, the hidden as well as the superficial, understand? Remember I tell you the content of thought? Remember? At first it's pure consciousness. You can remember this or not? How do you create thought? Initially it's spacious. Spacious. Awareness. Can follow or not? Huh? Means a general awareness. No focusing, not with any phenomena. You're just silent. It's just a general awareness. Then what happens? You see something. What you do? You focus. And then the thought arises. Yeah. Means the spacious awareness, the thought hasn't come yet. You're just silent, aware. Like you, your nature with the whole thing. Then all of a sudden when you try to perceive something, you have a focused attention. You zoom. This spacious awareness now shrink, understand not? Shrink. Is the spelling correct? Huh? Huh? Correct, huh? Shrink into a, what is this? Thought, understand not? And what is thought? Thought is just the space you introduce a pure consciousness, understand not? But the moment you focus, your memory, your conditioning start to react. That time you put in the content of consciousness. Understand not? Content of consciousness. Yeah. So this content of consciousness, this is what your perception is all about. This is what your feeling, emotion, your views, your opinion, your conditioning is all about. So all these things went in. Understand not? That's why it's a conditioned seeing already. Understand not? It's no more awareness, understand? Then this one becomes so limited, isn't it? So small, isn't it? That's why thought is limited. Thought is egoic, understand? Because before you become enlightened, all this content you put in is what? Huh? With self-delusion, understand? Sakayadity, understand? That's why the use of thought is very important, isn't it? Before you become enlightened, you are deluded, the thought you arise will be wrong thought. Understand not? That's why you have to listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate on the Dhamma, then straighten your view and straighten your views to bring about more and more right understanding to arise the right thought. Understand not? Otherwise, you will be forever repeating your same old mistake of delusion that will condition you to grasp, cling, and become miserable. Can follow that? So now, you know this content, you have to understand. So Krishnamurti said, I read again, awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. It is an understanding of the whole content of the problem. The hidden and the superficial. What is the hidden? Huh? Hidden one is what? Huh? You got your mundane mind. You got three. the conscious one. Eh? That is your superficial one. Then the hidden one is what? Subconscious and the unconscious. When you go into your sleep and dream, these are the hidden one. Subconscious and unconscious. So Krishnamurti say, the surface, the surface must be what? Must be understood for the hidden to show itself. Correct or not? So the hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is? What is the word? What happened to your mind? You remember the next quote? The noisy mind? You read the noisy mind, you understand. Whole day is so noisy. How to understand? Superficial also cannot understand. Or then you want to understand sati. You want to understand the hidden one. That's why you must make this silent. That's why we train our mind to be aware, so that the silent mind, the superficial mind, the conscious mind is silent. Understand not? Then only you connect. Understand not? Then what happened? Krishnamurti said. This whole process is not... you cannot verbalize. Understand not? Then what else? Nor is it a matter of mere experience. Means you cannot accumulate as experience. Understand not? When you aware, there is no experience. But the moment the mind come in and experience with the mental state, then it become experience. Understand? Then you read on, you understand. This one is very good. This good. Verbalization indicate what? Now you agree or not? You agree or not? The mind become dull. Why? Because the awareness is gone. Understand? Levy what? Levy the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the egoic mind, understand? That's why it becomes dull. It got no more intelligence. It cannot see things as they are, understand? But you verbalize through labor, through words, understand? Then what happened? An experience being cumulative makes for what? What is that word? Experience being cumulative means what? You accumulate experience there. Then you want it repeated, correct or not? Like good meditation. Understand not? Because you have that experience. Then you want it to be repeated because you have a view. Say, this is good meditation. Understand not? And when you cannot get what you want, what happens? You suffer. Understand not? Everything you see, you want it to be repeated because you measure, you compare. Understand not? Your brain is not for you to do that, understand? Your brain is for you to remember important things, understand? Not to doubt your mind through experience, then you want it repeated, understand? You know what is happening or not? You are no longer seeing. You are no longer really aware. You are no longer living life. You are no longer with the moment to experience all the beauty and wonders of life. Every experience is a new one, a different one. You don't go and bring back this memory and try to compare. Means thought is actively doing that thing. Understand not? When thought is actively doing that thing, you are no longer aware. Understand not? That's why you cannot experience all of the beauty and wonders within the moment. Understand not? Of every phenomenon and every nature. Understand not? The pristine beauty and wonders of nature, you miss them all. Because why? Your thought is active. Understand not? Memory and experience brings about the judgment, command. Understand not? The discrimination. Then you compare, you measure, you want it repeated. Means the thought is actively looking for all this from their memory. Understand not? From their experience. That's why you never see anymore. You can never experience that. You can never discover new thing anymore. Understand not? You see how you doubt your mind or not? Now you understand, Before that, you think everybody also like that, I also like that. Oh, this is vipassana. Then you read on. You will get a shock of your life, I tell you. Awareness is not a matter of what? Means you cannot like determine, no, or for purposive direction. You know what
when you want to do something, that one thing is what? Resistant, understand or not? Means you are not aware, you are not sensitive, you don't flow an accord anymore, understand or not? You just want to bulldoze your way through, understand or not? Understand or not? You like become very authoritative, understand or not? You are no longer sensitive. That's why all this become resistant, understand or not? Awareness is not a matter of determination for purposive direction, is resistant, which tends towards exclusiveness. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. So if you do that, what happens? In this awareness, the problem unrolls itself. I use another better word. The problem unfolds itself. Understand? That's why I say when you're just silent, it understands by itself. Understand? No need to like try to know in the meditation. No need to go and recall the Dhamma. Is this impermanent? Is this anicchang? Or is this sati? Am I doing it correctly? Or is this what jnana? What jnana? When you have all this actively inside, you are dead, I tell you. You're no longer aware. You're no longer silent. And you cannot understand the truth, the reality. You cannot penetrate the reality. I always say, let the phenomena tell you the story. Remember? You're just aware of the phenomena, and the phenomena will unfold itself. But the causes and conditions are there. You accord and flow, then you will understand exactly how it arises and how it passes away. Then how phenomena come and go. Then how the Buddha realized that these are all conditioned arising causal phenomena. That's why it's impermanent. Dependent on certain things, it arises. When the sustaining condition is there, it exists. When any of the condition that support it ceases, it ceases to be. You saw it there and then within that awareness, without the thought. Then you awaken. That is enlightenment. Not through the thought trying to rationalize and develop the rationalization or thinking, and relate back to the Dhamma. Oh, this is impermanent. I already awakened to it. You go and try. Let's see what type of awakening is that. Because it's totally different. So when it unrolls itself or unfolds itself, what happens? And thus it is fully and completely understood. Because within that silent awareness, you understand the form and mind very clearly. You understand what is thought, the limitation of thought, the danger of thought, how thought divide and condition you into negativity. And how you get yourself entangled, how the mundane might fall into delusion, and how sakayadity comes to be, how the ego is grasped before you inside, through the silent mind, into the characteristics of nature. So all this can be understood. Then Krishnamurti say what? A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. You cannot live a fragmented life, understand? A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. That to try to solve a problem on only one level, either physical or psychological, leads to what? Leads to what? Further conflict and confusion. Correct or not? It's just like we go through First Noble Truth, isn't it? So we thought, we no need the spiritual understanding. We have mundane understanding enough. I work hard, I become very successful, financial freedom, then my life will be taken care of. Understand? I have money, I have everything at my disposal. Correct? But when you confront the reality of life and existence, the First Noble Truth, old age, sickness, and death, you still suffer, correct? Without the spiritual understanding, you are incomplete, understand? Not whole, understand? That's why you cannot solve your problem through fragmentation, understand? You have to develop the total understanding. Then only you can free both the mundane and supramundane understanding, understand? Both the materialistic and the spiritual understanding of life. Then you can completely resolve your problem. So to try to solve a problem only at one level, either physically or psychologically, leads to further conflict and confusion. For the resolution of a problem, there must be what? This awareness. What awareness? This passive alertness which reveals its total process. Because through this awareness, both the mundane and the supramundane can be understood. Understand? That's why this is the only way to free the four foundations of mindfulness. And what the Buddha taught under the four foundations of mindfulness is true. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, he said, O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the overcoming of all this suffering, leading to the right path, leading to the enlightenment and all those things. Namely, the four foundations of mindfulness or satipatthana. Okay, so when you have developed the understanding of sati, then you can go to the next code. Wow, so fast. We go to the noisy mind. That one faster. Turn to this page, the second sheet at the back. The second last paragraph. The mind is noisy. Everybody got it? Okay. You know, in the case of most of us, the mind is noisy, correct? Not? Everlasting chattering in itself. You tell me true or not. What is this word? I didn't check the dictionary. Soliloquizing. What is that? Or chattering about something. Is that the meaning? Talking to oneself. Okay. Talking to oneself. Or trying to talk to itself. To convince itself of something. It is always moving, noisy. Correct or not? And from that noise, we act. You know. What type of action is it? Any action born of noise produce what? Oh, now you know. Then, more confusion. Correct or not? Because when you are not peaceful and not silent, there is no clarity. Understand? And you want to act. You know. That's why whatever happens, don't get angry. Remember? I told you? Don't react. Silent. Then, develop the clarity of mind to understand what is going on. And then you make better decisions. And then you act. You act with understanding after that. When there is no clarity in the midst of argument and confusion, you want to act. How to act? You become more violent. Correct or not? Out of anger, you act. Out of delusion, you act. And you are so angry and emotional inside. So noisy inside. All the emotion, all the anger, the frustration, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and you act with that evil root all inside. And you expect to find solution. That's why war arises. Conflict arises. Understand? Misunderstanding arises. Then people get hurt. Understand? That's how suffering arises. Then what did Krishnamurti say? But if you have observed and learned what it means to communicate, the difficulty of communication, the non-verbalization of the mind, this is the part you need to develop. When you are more and more aware, your mind don't verbalize anymore. It doesn't chatter inside anymore. It's just aware and one with the phenomena, without thought. Most of the time it's quiet. Silent, aware. If you think a lot, you are heedless. Then you verbalize a lot. What is thought? Thought is concept, label, words, verbalizing. Then, after that, what happened? That is, that communicates and receives communication. Then as life is a movement, correct or not? You were in your action, move on. This is how you live. Naturally, understand or not? As against discipline, attention. Very unnatural. You will act and move naturally.
freely, easily, without any effort. See? Means you accord and flow, anasana. You don't try to do something, anasana. When defilement arises, when wrong thought arises, when unwholesome thought arises, don't try to fight. Just silent. It will cease to be. Because it's all condition arising. Your mind stir, then it arises. Before your mind stir, that wrong thought was never there. Anasana. Krena. So, you have to straighten your view so that you don't react and stir. Then your true mind will always be peaceful, silent, and just aware. Anasana. When your mundane mind is quiet, the moment you stir, your mundane mind is not quiet anymore. Anasana. It becomes what? Very noisy. Anasana. Like the drum. Eh? The moment you hear the prrrr, the whole music starts. Then you can play all the music of life inside there. That's why you get hurt. Unless you are a very skillful drummer. Then all the music come out very nice. Otherwise you keep on hitting the wrong note and get into all the trouble. Then next one is what? You will find that you are not only in communion with nature, the world, with everything about you, but also in communion with yourself, with your true mind, anasana. When you are in communion with your true mind, you are so beautiful, anasana. You are fully aware inside, and you know that one, the eternal life, never die. The form and mind is different, it's not you, but that one, they come from nature, to nature they shall return. That one is born, that one can get sick, can get old and die, anasana. But your true nature never born. That's why it never die, anasana. Yeah. It's eternal. Yeah. So this part finished 10:30. Yeah? So we can end. Huh? Yeah. So the rest you go back and read. Huh? If you cannot understand, maybe next Tuesday we continue a bit more. Huh? Yeah? Got any question? I can't hear. Yeah? What did they say just now? Oh, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday class, yes. You go back and read. Huh? Maybe quick one. Emptiness of the brain. I like this one, actually. You can understand this one. You really, really want to live this type of life. This is what the enlightened one mind is. Emptiness of the brain. Can I have a few minutes to read this one? Okay, first page. Emptiness of the brain. And walking on that road, Krishnamurti said, there was complete emptiness of the brain. And the mind was free of all experience. You know what is experience there? Right? When you start to have the sankhara, the mental state, the emotion, the feeling. Oh, beautiful, the peace. That one is from the thought, anasana. That one accumulate, become experience. But when you just aware, that whole awareness of that thing, that nature, whatever that comes within your field of awareness is so beautiful, so deep, and so more refined than what your mind can touch, anasana. That's why you never experience that aspect of life. That's why you never experience what Krishnamurti described here. Complete emptiness of brain. Means what? The brain got no thought, nothing. Anasana. Completely silent inside there. Anasana. Then what happened? Because the brain is silent, there is no accumulation. So it's free of all experience. The knowing of yesterday. Though 1,000 yesterday has been. Time. The thing of the thought has. What happened? No thought. Anasana. No thought means what? No interference, anasana. No command, no chattering, no judgment, no discrimination, anasana. That is the real living, anasana. The real awareness. That is the true living of life. Then what happened? Literally, there was no movement, anasana. Before and after. There was no going or arriving or standstill. Because the mind doesn't pursue anything anymore, anasana. Space as distant was not, anasana. That
there's no more measurement. Then, there were the hill and the bushes. There can be awareness of them. Then there can be perception of them. That's why the memory can tell you that these are the hill and the bushes, but not as high and low. You no longer compare. You see them as they are. No more measurement, no more comparison. Then there was no relationship with anything, but there was an awareness of everything. The bridge and the passers-by. Yeah. The totality of the mind in which is the brain with its thoughts and feeling are empty. Empty of thought and feeling, understand, and emotion, understand, the aggregate of mind. And because it was empty, there was what? This is the pure energy from your nature, understand. That's why you become very sensitive. The whole of the mind, the awareness is different. A deepening and widening energy without measure. All comparison, measurement belonging to thought, and so to time. No more. Understand now? The otherness was the mind without time. It was the breath of innocence and immensity. That's why the nature of the enlightened one is very, very different, immense. The energy is very different, very pure and very fine. To tap the energy, you must cultivate the silent mind. Otherwise, you cannot tap. That's why in the retreat, you remember I tell you? To tap, you must have a cup. In no cup, how? Everything spill over. Your cup is your silent mind. Your spiritual faculty. When you have faith, that cup is already there. It go in. Like Mi Feng Diao experience. The heart just opened up and there was so much joy. It just go in. Yeah. And that type of joy is not from a thought, understand? It's just from that nature, that true mind that understands. And that joy that comes from it is not accumulative, understand? Every moment is different. As you progress, as you move on, it's different again. That's why every moment, every experience is a different one. It don't accumulate anymore. It don't experience with the memory, understand? It's just aware. And everything is so pristine and so beautiful, so meaningful, so alive, understand? So full of beauty. Yeah. That's why life becomes so beautiful and so meaningful. And it's not just a word, understand? It's really that thing. Then words are not reality. Now you understand. Words are not reality. They are only means of communication. I have to communicate to you, understand? I have to use words to describe the undescribable, understand? That's why there is a whiteboard, understand? Otherwise, it's empty, isn't it? Before I write, it was empty, isn't it? Then where did all these things come from? Well, I need to communicate, isn't it? You need to use word to understand first, then you cultivate, meditate, and realize it through your awareness. No more thought, understand? Then what happened? The emptiness was alone, understand? It doesn't need companion, understand? Understand? Because that true nature is the oneness, understand? It's like never alone, understand? Understand? You know what is aloneness and loneliness? Loneliness means you're very lonely. You need a companion, a partner. Whereas aloneness, don't need anything, understand? Alone, yet everything is there. There is no more like you, me, he, she, no more. No more division. Everything is the oneness, understand? The whole of existence is one. That nature is one. Because that was the source of everything. From this one, everything come to be. And all these are not real, understand? That's why they are impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling, they lead to suffering. And it's all empty. Anatta, non-self. You cannot see these universal characteristics in the midst of the existential world or the mundane world. Suffering will arise. Then everything that you see in this conscious world, world of consciousness, you will grasp and cling. And because of that,
suffering will follow you. Because to you, it's so real. Understand? Your form and mind is so real. You think you are so real. This form and mind really can animate until so real. Can cry, can laugh, can have joy, and also can become miserable. That's why it is so real, understand? Then you look at everyone like so real. Everything you touch, so real. That's why very difficult for you to penetrate. Because why? You use thought. Understand? If you don't use thought, I tell you, your life will be different. Yeah. Okay, enough for today. Huh? Yeah, we will have to stop here. Huh? The rest you go back and read. Huh? You got a question, you can ask. Okay, now sharing our merits with the devas. We recite together. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatkalena sasa sampatiheto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu mammiko. May the rainfall induce season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you do your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.